Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Film Fatales.
Hi.
We're back to regular scheduling. And this week, we're so excited to jump back right into our second week of Emma Stone.
Can we just pull back the curtain for a sec? I'm so enthralled with everything happening on my screen.
Can you describe to our audience what we did differently this time?
We're using something called Riverside, which Jeff has been trying to sell to me for since the inception of this podcast, I feel. And now we're trying it, and there's just a lot of like
information,
just like percentage thing happening in the corner, uploading. Where is it uploading? I don't know.
It's processing as we go. So
yeah, that's stressful. Okay. I'm relinquishing control. Yeah. I didn't plan on that being one of my New Year's resolutions, but I feel like I'm sort of being forced into it. So I'm relinquishing control.
Good. That's a great start. You know what they say. When you start wishing for things, the opposite things are going to come in your way because it's supposed to test you.
Who says that?
Some TikTok that
that's
I saw.
That's not even catchy.
That's not even catchy. Exactly. But if you listeners out there, if you notice any audio things that are seemingly
mind your own business
or improvements, mind your own business, and also thanks for listening. Film Fatales is a podcast where we discuss iconic actresses, actors, performances. And you want to tell listeners a bit about what we're reviewing this week?
This week we are continuing on with Emma Stone month with the 2016, I think I said 2017 last week, it's 2016 musical romance, musical romance film.
White people getting together.
La La Land.
Boom. We need to try out the clapping.
Okay, I don't know if that's gonna be necessary.
Do you live for this movie? First thoughts, hot takes.
First thoughts, hot takes. Do I live for this movie? When I first watched this movie, I took notes because I feel like we're going in a more professional direction. Yes. When I did first watch this movie in probably 2017, probably a year after it came out, I did really enjoy it. I really liked it.
Did you rewatch it just for this episode? I think you did, right?
I rewatched it just for this episode, and I'm glad I did because I was thinking about sometimes if I've seen a movie, I'll be like, oh, I can just skim through. But this one, I properly sat down and watched it. And I'm glad I did because I feel like seven years later, there's a lot more holes in it that I didn't see back in the day. There's a lot more, I don't even know if I'd call them problems, but a lot more like little gripes that I have that I didn't have back then. Did I still have a good time watching it? Yeah, generally. Yeah, but there were moments that, I mean, we'll get into it, but there are just moments
we'll talk about it. Anyways. I think I texted you last night saying that some of the movie creative choices, they didn't really age well. We'll talk about it, like some of the specific things, but it's my second time watching it. And I think I'll just jump into it. I think the movie really started when Emma Stone started dancing next to the pool. I think that moment she was like being quirky and like kind of doing all these like crazy movements. I think that was the moment that registered in my mind that the movie really started. We're talking about the scene that it's like 10 minutes in the movie that the two characters have met several times. And then Mia, played by Emma Stone, remember Ryan Gosling's character who is playing at that pool party. And then
that's like half an hour in. That's when you felt the movie started.
Yeah, that like the whole first 20 minutes was like, it's like an easy throwaway. It's like, I mean, it makes sense if they kind of like build this world around like LA and like what it means and like the economics of it. Like you have to like tell like what is Mia working as. It's like she's like nobody working as like barista and, you know, like those kind of details. But then it's like a slow start. It's like a weak start, though. Like, do you think? I just find like the pacing is a little bit weird this time watching it.
I don't know. I've heard a lot of people complain about the opening dance number, I think it's kind of sick. I think that it's like, it's really corny and cheesy, but it's kind of giving, like, it's the corn and cheese that I kind of needed, like that I wanted almost going into this type of movie musical. So I and you know what? I even enjoy the part where Emma Stone's getting ready with her roommates. I'm like, this is cute. I like them. And they do that. They go out into the street and do that weird little move where they kick back. It's like,
yeah,
I don't know. I kind of liked it.
We should go back. We should reel it back to the beginning first. Like, speaking of the beginning dancing scene, I did like it. But then the entire time I was like, because I know that there was like a scene where the back of the pickup, the moving truck, the screen got pulled up, and then there's like a band playing conga. There's this one black guy drumming, and I can just imagine like him behind the screen of like, I can't believe I'm doing this white ass movie with this crazy white people. And then he was like, the movie is diverse though. Like, I mean, I'm not looking at it in that kind of perspective, but I think it just feels a little bit out of place for me, the opening like act, or the opening like the musical sequence.
I think it would play better. I mean, like, it seemed like it was like a, like, that's how it would open if it was like a stage musical. Like, it would open with a big number that doesn't need to be there. It just gets you into it.
And the two characters aren't even in a part of it. They were like in the
they're not in like 95% of it.
Right. So why don't they just like use the two characters, like some, like a little bit of that, right? Just like use that first few really important minutes to kind of set the scene a little bit. That's just my gripe of it, you know.
That's fair. I think, I don't know. Like I said, I feel like I'm a bit of a sucker for that big corny dance number type of shit. Same with her and her roommates. And when it really, when the first time I'm really like, was when Emma Stone was at that party and they had that weird like overlay on the screen of like almost like looked like stock videos of like champagne being poured into cups and like glitter and stuff. Like, I don't understand I don't understand that stylistic choice. That was like iMovie 2010 type of filter.
It's iMovie community college transitions.
Yeah, like why would they do that? So it had me. It had me at the beginning, despite that moment. I don't know. I don't know how you want to circumvent this. Like, how do you want to navigate this?
Is the film based on a certain era, like early 2000s? Is that what the film... I don't think it was explicitly said, or right? I don't think so.
I don't know, but I think it's supposed to take place present day. Like, present day 2015, whenever it was filmed or written.
Yeah. It does give me, like, I think the film overall gives me like a 2008 kind of vibe, even though it doesn't really say anything.
It's very millennial.
Maybe it's just the colors. Yeah, yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's very millennial.
Second time watching this, I couldn't stand the color. Like, they're really laying it on thick. I'm like, okay, we get it. Like, the colors, okay, we get it. Yeah. I just find it a little lazy, if anything. But I see the other side of the argument saying like, oh, it adds so much character to it. But like, come on. Like,
I don't know. I'm not like, obviously this movie's inspired by or supposed to be inspired by like old Hollywood musicals. I am not well versed in old Hollywood musicals. To me, this feels as though... I feel like if I was well-versed in old Hollywood musicals, I would not like this movie. And it feels almost like it was like an ode to old Hollywood musicals and to Los Angeles made by a person who has never seen or been to Los Angeles. Like, it really did to me.
That's not harsh, though. I think that's totally reasonable. I think that's fair. Yeah. It's almost
felt
like
very
the whole...
shallow.
It's like Ryan Gosling trying to save jazz. There's like two parallels happening.
Well,
like,
that's a whole other thing. Why is this white man out here thinking that his jazz club is going to save the entire genre of jazz?
Give me a break, Ryan.
Does Gosling. Jazz need a white savior? I didn't know.
I mean, we're also not in the most appropriate position to say this. We'll talk about it.
When?
I mean, when we get to Ryan Gosling, I think Ryan Gosling deserves a little. I do think, okay, now if we're going to talk Cody, I think Ryan Gosling steals the show, just like how he stole Barbie. I really think so. I understand, by, like musically, he's a little bit more ahead of Emma Stone. In terms of acting choices, you got to give,
I agree with you. I think that singing and dancing, he's better than Emma Stone. I think that acting, I don't think his acting was better than Emma Stone in this movie.
Maybe
I'm, but also I kind of hate his character, so maybe he did act well, and that's, I just think his character's a douchebag. Yeah, I really don't like his character.
The name Seb doesn't do it justice.
Seb.
What do you have in your notes? I know we were jumping everywhere, but we talk about colors.
Let me just go through my issues with this movie.
Okay.
I think it is actually a little bit of a snore fest when they're happy together. Like, that's when it loses me, is when they're happy together and we're doing like montages through the seasons. I'm like, ugh, like, I'm so bored. It also like is like a very I get that like they're in love and they're happy, but that doesn't change the fact that they're actually both like incredibly struggling artists who are struggling to pursue their passions, and it's like kind of sad, and but yet somehow like money is never an issue, and I'm trying to frame that like I'm trying to frame it in a way where it's like, I mean, how can there be two artists who are struggling who don't have financial problems? But then I'm like, I don't know, like maybe maybe movies don't need to be that realistic. Like, maybe it could be like some sort of
fantasy,
but if I feel like it doesn't lean enough into fantasy and it doesn't lean enough into reality, it's just like it kind of doesn't commit to either.
It's not Chicago, where it's like harsh musical about like violence, sex, like, you know, all this kind of stuff, you know. But it, like, I mean, LA is his own fantasy. I've only been in there for like 2 hot seconds, so I
but really let's talk about the real LA. Like, where's the real LA? Because it's not that.
Have you seen Audrey Plaza in her own movie, Emily the Criminal?
Yeah.
She acted as, she's like a struggling artist, like marketing, that she turns into a criminal, like doing crime. Like, she turns out to be like, I think that's the more like realistic LA. You know, like everybody's like kind of struggling, and like it's not as pretty as it seems, you know. Like, that feels, I'm just more drawn to like the darker portrayal of things,
which I am too. So that's why I'm like trying to preface it by saying, like, not every movie needs to be realistic and depressing. I understand that. It's just, I just don't feel like it leaned enough into the fantasy. Then, like, let's really go for it.
Yeah. What if a choice that they can make is, what if the two of them did something together? Like, what if they joined forces into like opening a business, or like they do a project together, but one of them didn't get chosen to for a bigger opportunity, but like the other one is just like still struggling. I think that would bring up a little bit more attention. I just find that like the two arcs are parallel, but kind of, you know, lacking of any kind of tension between the two. Like, the fight scene just like feels so bland to me, you know. Like, you know,
I just think that if you're going to tell a story about two artists living in Los Angeles struggling to get a break, it's not this, and it almost feels, once again, like it was made by someone who doesn't actually understand what it means to struggle personally or financially for your passions. Damien. Sorry, but Damien went to Harvard University, so I don't think he really did struggle for his passions. It's not giving. I did some digging because I was like, who is he? And his dad is a professor at Princeton, and he went to Harvard. I'm like,
Jesus Christ.
So it's really giving that to me. It's really giving, like, he wrote the script and he directed it, like someone who doesn't understand what it actually looks like to not only, like, maybe sure yearn for an artistic career, but really be willing to like eat shit and shovel shit for it for as long as you need to.
Yeah. I think those choices are often like, do I want this movie to be a commercial success, or do I actually want it to be like a bigger social commentary of stuff?
Right.
Like this, I think this feels intentional. I think if you frame it that way, I think the movie is deliberately almost trying to not talk about those things, because it's the only way to kind of uphold that fantasy of LA or just like West Coast culture.
Yeah.
Generally.
I still liked it. I'm not like, I still had a good time watching it.
Yeah. Do you think the movie taps into some of that West Coastness? I know that, like, obviously Vancouver is not LA, but like, I think there's a little bit of like mentally in terms of the lifestyle, in terms of like the, obviously there's some correlation between the entertainment industry and stuff. I keep thinking about your
friend. I have no idea. Steph. I'm not walking around Vancouver breaking out into song and dance. I don't know. Like, yeah, they're a little laid back, but that's a very California thing too. I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you think of Emma Stone? We talked about Ryan.
I think Emma Stone serviceable. I just find like kind of her playing herself. She's also playing an actress. Parallel between like May, December to here. Like, I like it when actors play as actors in movies. I think that is so fascinating, because you have to like psychologically rewire how you're gonna act as a bad actor.
Right.
There feel like for all the audition scenes that she did, obviously like she really acted as an actor, like not as herself. This is so confusing. But she did really like show through, like there are like glimpses of her that I can feel like, oh, this is like really solid. But then the movie at certain moments that I feel like drives to a point, and it turns into like a song that doesn't really fucking make sense at all, which like drives me crazy. But because I just like,
well,
don't,
that's
like
musicals.
I just don't like the songs at all. It just doesn't add anything.
So you don't like musicals?
Like, this could have been made not as a musical, but like as some just like a dramatic rom-com.
It's also weirdly non-committal to the musical form. I agree that there are no memorable songs in the show. There's not one single song that I'm like, I'm gonna go listen to that on Spotify. Like, I would be okay never hearing a song from this show ever again in my life. But I agree with you that musicals, the whole job of musicals, the songs in them, are to progress the story forward, as in the same way that like a scene would or dialogue would, just with music. That's the whole point.
Right.
And these songs didn't really do that. I think when she does her monologue in that audition and she sings the song, one, I think
about her aunt, the last one. That her aunt used to live in Paris. Are you talking about that one?
I don't remember. Yeah. Well, she's at that audition and she just bursts into song instead of.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, whatever.
I saw a Letterboxd comment saying, like, the producer was like, this is not a musical. Get the fuck out of here.
For one, she's not great in that song. But two, I felt an emotional pull from that song. I think that song served a purpose, whereas other songs maybe did not. I lost my train of thought. I think she plays this role well. I think this role is not particularly challenging for her. And I think that as someone who's been a fan of Emma Stone, like I've made that clear, I do fuck with Emma Stone. I think this was a point in her career where I started to get kind of bored with her, where I started to be a little like, you know, like I know what I'm going to get. And I think this movie is really just more Emma Stone. Even in the moment where you said the movie started for you and she's doing all those quirky, weird things by the pool, like that's quintessential Emma Stone. Like that could have been a scene from Easy A. That could have been a scene from Easy A.
Totally.
Right? So
I'm
like,
oh my god, the continuum. She graduated high school and went to LA, and then
literally you could tell me that and I would believe it. That's Olive Pendergast in LA trying to make it as an actor. Like I would believe that. So I got a little fatigued with her playing this like girl next door with a little bit of quirk and a little bit of sass. Like I'm like, anyways, as we'll continue in this month, I think she really has excelled from this moment. Do I think she deserved the Oscar?
Yeah, I would say, yeah, let's talk about that.
I would say no.
Who was competing that year?
But I think it was a slim year. It was, okay, so it was Ruth Negga, who I
gay gasp.
I didn't see that movie. And I do, what, gay gasp for what? Do you? I do.
She's amazing.
I know, but I didn't see that movie, so I can't say how that was. It was Natalie Portman in Jackie. Didn't see that.
Oh, no.
It was Meryl Streep in Florence Foster Jenkins.
No, that's not a good thing.
And then there was one more. I don't think it was like the most stacked year it could have been. And I haven't seen the other films, so I can't say. But from just like looking at it on a list, I think it was a bit of a slim year. And she's lucky for that because she got an Oscar.
Cool. Okay, Emma Stone in La La Land, Isabelle Huppert in Elle, French didn't film, Ruth Negga in Loving, Natalie Portman as Jackie, Meryl Streep in Florence Foster Jenkins. Yeah, no, that's, yeah, it's kind of like the weaker year. Isn't it the same year that they got accused, Oscar So White? I think that's the same year.
Is it? And yeah, I think so. Aren't they, I mean, every year since that year, they get called that, so.
Yeah, whatever.
I think there were moments where she did really emotionally draw me in. I think that particularly when she kind of gives up and he drives to her parents' house and she comes out and she's talking about how she's like maybe not good enough. That emotionally got me. I thought that was impactful. I thought that was heartfelt, and I think it's really, really like soulful to see like a partner who does believe in you try to like convince you not to give up. That's a sweet, like, intimate, connected moment. I just hate Sebastian in this film. I just really don't like him at all. So like when he's convincing her, I'm like kind of like rejecting it. I'm like, fuck off and let her quit. But that's only because I really don't like him. So
what I mean, there is no alternative, because I think the whole, it's the same thing. It's Easy A Pam Badger going out to her window and honking with the lawner, like a lawnmower. Literally. Sorry, it's the same shot. Like, yeah. I mean, it's rom com. It there has to be some kind of like, hey, like take me back. But that kind of scene, it's
La La Land is not a rom com.
It is a rom com. What are you talking about?
No one would describe this as a rom com.
Oh, it's not a comedy. It's not a comedy.
It's just like a romance. It's just a romance.
I like Ryan Gosling. I'm just kind of horny for him. But that's just me.
I think he's quite mad in this movie.
Yeah, just from the jazz perspective of things, I just don't like it at all.
Why?
He could be like a painter. He could be anything, right? Like, I don't understand why it has to be jazz in Los Angeles. It, like, there has to be like a more fun, edgier twist to it. I don't really understand it. Like a hip hop. I don't know. And he's gonna be like, I'm trying to save hip hop. Like, no. Like,
yeah. I don't know why that was a choice. Maybe there's a reason behind it, but I don't care to find out. Also, Emma Stone, not a phenomenal singer, but I also don't accept the slander that she's bad. I don't think she's bad. I think she sounds better than, you know, the average Joe Schmo from the street, but she's not, you know, she's not a singer enough to terrible. Like to helm the ship of a movie musical. Probably not. Yeah.
Didn't she sing in some other movie? Do you remember? I feel like it's not her only. No, I think I'm...
I mean, she sang in Easy A.
Oh, God. Maybe that's why.
She just did that whole performance in Easy A.
It was 6 years apart.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
See, okay, so there's a qualm. I feel like this is 6 years apart. Do I see a lot of growth from Miss Emma Stone as an actor in those 6 years? No. And that's just a fact. I don't.
What would you do, though? Like, if you are, like, how do you, in those 6 years, like, make a change in your career in terms of, like, acting choices? Like, I can't imagine, like, for her, what is she thinking, like, behind those, like, you know, decisions of, like, oh, I'm going to take this role. I'm not going to take, like.
I mean, if we can compare to other actresses
that we covered.
I think Birdman was her first sort of step into the direction of like a more serious Oscars-y type of film. And then she was approached for this movie. I don't know why she took it. Probably because it was sold as like an ode to old Hollywood, an ode to Los Angeles.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't see a lot of growth in terms of
when did she play a Hawaiian. When did she play a Hawaiian person? What year was that? I think that was before this.
I'm not gonna answer that question. I do not know the answer to it.
I think it was like 2014.
We should really talk about it. I think maybe she tried that in between 2010 and 2016, but she got a lot of backlash and she was like, let me just do what I know how to do best.
Let me stick to playing white people was her big realization.
Let me just stick to what I know doing best, being white. She doesn't deserve all this slander. I'm sorry.
I love Emma Stone. It's all,
we're Emma Stoners. Emma Stoners in this house.
That's great. I mean, the movies we'll talk about next, I'm gonna have high praise.
Yeah. This is the... Wait, we're talking about the favorite Knicks. Anyway, cut this. Or not cut this. I caught this really funny moment when when Emma Stone was going out with Greg and his family for dinner. Mm-hmm. Did you catch the brother speaking in Mandarin?
No.
I'm gonna put a clip there somehow or another. I should have prepared it, but it's so... Have you watched Bradley Cooper Limitless? Have you watched
maybe
that movie
way back?
It's like this movie of him taking drugs that he can do anything. Do you right. does it do you remember?
Yeah.
And in the movie, Bradley Cooper was he learned Chinese in one day, less than a day. And he was like speaking in Mandarin, but it's like the most fucked up like pronunciation. I just find it so funny. I was like bursting out laughing.
What context did that happen here?
He was taking Greg's brother was taking like a phone call, and then he was like, I'm gonna call you back. Thank you. But he was using Mandarin for sure. But I just find it so funny. I don't know why. Like, why are these acting choices so bizarre and so left field? Like, why is it necessary? I just don't find this movie necessary at all.
Right. Sorry, hot take. I mean, what do you mean by necessary? What do you mean by necessary?
It's so cloudy. It doesn't stand still. I just find the movie constantly going somewhere without actually slowing down and like, hey, like this is the movie tension. This is where like the crux of the issue is. It's not telling me anything new or telling me anything that I probably don't already assume to know.
But does every movie do that?
It's not really stimulating. I think visually
does every
it's really
movie have
but
to
I
do
just
that?
Think like thematically it does a lot of work for me.
You're like freezing up on my end.
Sorry. I'm just being snobbish. I just don't like
be snobbish. Be proud of your snobbishness.
Like I think about like Chicago, right? Like everything there's so like there's a precision in why is the song choice there? Why is like certain people like the choreography of like programming all of these like musical numbers throughout the whole musical? Everything serves a purpose from Queen Latifah, her own number to like another person who is like a B cast. Like everything serves a purpose, but I don't, with all the songs like stuck between Emma Stone and like Ryan Gosling, I just don't find the movie very diverse and kind of like lackluster in that way. Like imagine if it's if one of the roommates have her own number, like what is their perspective of the story? What is she struggling with? I think that makes up a whole interesting story that I would have been missed out. Right, like that makes a more interesting addition to the film rather than just this like LA fantasy love story. But that's just my gripe to it.
I don't know. That's all I really have to say. I think that I do like the ending. I don't know if people don't like the ending. I think the ending where there's a whole fake out montage is is a nice way to like emotionally end it, I feel.
Yeah, the what if, right?
There's a lot of like what ifs in this movie, like what if I quit, what if I keep trying, you know, and then it kind of ends on that big what if. So I appreciate that yeah. detail. No, he won Best Director. I think his directing is good.
Yeah, I can see that. But if I think Moonlight was also nominated this year, I do think this directing is pretty good. But perhaps not the acting choices on the script.
Well, itself. Moonlight won Best Picture, right? This was the yes. whole fake out, or the whole, you know, wrong movie being read out year.
Yeah, controversy, yeah,
wild.
Anyway, what rating did you give this musical movie?
Oh my god, I actually have gripes with you. I feel like you're not being strong enough in your feelings, because I'm reading your Letterboxd review and it's much more intense than the words you're saying here on this episode today.
What did I say?
I'm gonna read it out to you. Slot, bitch. I'm gonna read it out to you.
Okay, please do.
Always think about RuPaul saying Hollywood no. is an idea. It's not a real place. The movie is always so close to getting there, but never really got there. This is a great sentence. Emotional edge job tipped and toppled over by some of the blandest musical choices and singing.
The slander. I mean, that's a things great on sentence. Things on the written form is always look at the written form. Things written down are always harsher than it looks like. But do you not agree? I stand by what I said though. Sorry, we're freezing.
I don't know. You just cut out for a whole 10 seconds.
But do you agree with what I'm saying? Like, it's emotionally edging me. Like, I don't feel it. I'm not rooting for anybody. we're facing each other out. Can you hear me?
No, did you hear me? I can't hear you. You're coming out like fucking crazy.
I said, did you agree with what I say about like emotionally edging? It doesn't really go anywhere.
I don't know. Emotionally edging. I don't know, because I do feel an emotional pull. I do feel an emotional pull when in the moments that I've talked about. I don't know. And I feel I'm emotional at the ending. So I think I feel satisfied emotionally with this film. Yeah. I feel satisfied emotionally with this film. I feel satisfied with the cheesy, corny dance choreography, which, you know, it is what it is. I feel satisfied with the obscene use of color, which is a little bit tacky. I'm fine. Fine with it all.
Great word choice. Obscene and tacky, actually. Yeah.
there are just, for me, like, logical plot holes and some acting choices that I don't think align with what I feel the movie should have been setting out to do, which, you know, who am I? I'm acting so entitled, but that's just how I feel.
Amazing. Cool. Did we talk, do you want to talk more about like some of the loopholes, like plot holes, or?
I talked about it. I talked about how they, you know, seem to have endless money, even though they're struggling artists.
Oh, working yeah, right, yeah.
baristas, and when he can't even keep a job because he won't play a fucking Christmas song. Like, just play the Christmas song, dude. Just play the Christmas song. That's like the least you can do. You have like, anyways, and yeah. like the whole idea of I don't think this is a very like thorough or genuine portrayal of LA or old Hollywood. So
yeah, there it has to be a more clever way of doing this movie. I'm just so convinced. Like the whole movie, I'm a creative person. I consider myself a creative person. Fuck whatever you think. I consider myself a creative person. But, like, whenever I'm watching a movie, I'm like thinking, why am I feeling like here in the middle? And like immediately like identifying, oh, there's not enough tension. There's not enough like motivation of like, why are these characters doing the things that they're doing? Like, immediately right. start imagining what kind of scenarios like we can potentially put them into. What if, like, I don't know. What if the two of them get into a relationship and then one of them has been lying the whole time that they're struggling, but turns out they have fucking money? And then they have like the biggest fight ever.
You just like are writing different movies.
I'm just writing different movies, so don't take it with a grain of salt. So, a creative reinterpreter of movies.
Go ahead.
I think the two of us have very different ways of reviewing movies and like coming up with our own criticism. I don't know. I think the way that we watch movies are kind of different, as you can probably tell from listening to our podcast.
I'm not sorry for any of my opinions. Those are my opinions. I'm not sorry about them. If you love this movie, I'm happy for you. I liked it. I gave it when I first watched this movie, I probably would have given it 5 stars. Now I give it a 4, and that's a fabulous rating, and I stand by it, and I don't care what anyone thinks.
No one's coming for you. I think 4 is totally reasonable.
I know, but I feel like this movie, like I never see anyone talk about this movie and they're like in the middle, in like a 3 to 4 range. Like everyone is like, I fucking hate it, or it's the best thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, I see that. Do you think this movie opened up like the Pandora box of musical movies? I think since this movie, a lot has since come out. Like, a lot of, obviously, like the whole Disney remakes of things, like everything's being fucking made into a musical. There isn't really like strong musicals like back then, like Chicago or Mamma Mia, or you know, even back then, Little Shop of Horrors. Like movies that have a really strong conceptual point of view, but then added with like musical film perspective to it. I think that's what kind of I'm reminiscing about. Like, I'm not too excited about these like modern remakes of like West Side Story.
The movie musical is like, honestly, genuinely, I feel one of the hardest movies you could ever set out to make, particularly if you're taking a musical that's already had so much success on stage and trying to put it in film. You really need to have like a very smart team of screenwriters, of directors, and you need to have actors who can actually sing. Why is Emma Watson in Beauty and the Beast? That's like the biggest example I can think of. Why the fuck is Emma Watson
in Beauty and the Beast? It's a commercial thing.
I know it is, yeah, of course. Yeah, I'm not dumb, but it's bullshit. And so translating what is emotionally captivating on stage into a film takes a lot of thought and a lot of adaptation. And I feel like, let's look at Dear Evan Hansen, for example. Love that musical. A very emotionally gripping musical. It was just plopped into a movie form with next to no thought, in my opinion. And it was shit. Yeah. It was terrible. And that happens often.
I think that example feels like a quick like cash grab. Like, because they know there's a certain market for these things. Like, to capture those audiences who couldn't really see those in action in theater, like, that's the only way to kind of like really quickly turn out a movie version of a musical and then sort of fuck out of it. But obviously with varying degrees, you know.
But even like The Color Purple, if you want a more recent example, it was not nearly as emotionally gripping as it was on stage. And I'm so extremely nervous for Wicked. I think Wicked is either going to be incredible or a total shit show.
I don't feel really good about it. I have a feeling that will probably not going
to
go as well.
I'm a Cynthia Erivo stan, like to my core. So I'm hoping she can pull through.
Yeah. But we'll tune in anyway.
She's a Broadway actor. So, you know, there's a good start. She trained
in opera, right?
There's a good start.
I think... have we covered most of the things I've covered?
That's it. Just
check my notes. I think that's really about it.
That's it. Thank you for watching.
having seen, I know that we're jumping ahead a few episodes, but having seen, not Strange Things, Poor Things.
Poor Things. We can't talk about Poor Things right now.
I know. Like, do you think this is her career best out of the 4? Or do you think we should expect like really good performances? Do you think like having seen
Poor Things? Jeff, love you dearly. That's a question for the last episode.
Okay, we'll spend a few more minutes at the last episode to do a quick survey of her acting choices. But yeah, I'm excited to talk about more. What movie are we talking about next week?
Next week, we're talking about one of my favorite films, which is 2019's The Favorite.
I cannot wait. I'm so excited.
And yeah, huh? We're being played off.
We have a live audience with us. I'm so excited to talk about it. We're literally just recording, but recording the next episode right away. But you don't have to know that.
Yeah, for real.
I'm so excited to talk about it. Yeah, thanks for tuning in. You can always follow us on Instagram at FilmFatalesPod for memes, reviews, and shenanigans all together. Yeah, and leave us
give us five stars. Thank you, everyone. Bye.
Goodbye.
Not to change the subject, but I just was like looking down at it like it was my newborn child. And I was like, this is a statue of a naked man. It's very creepy staring at it. So hopefully I'll look at a newborn child differently.